Lord, help us to shine your light that others might see Jesus. And God, you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't sit till I tell you the title. Are you ready? Here it is. Here it is. Soul winning on the soul train to heaven. Come on, get on board. Tell your neighbor, get on board. You may have a seat. Amen. Woo! Remember that song? Amen. All right, so you know, one of the greatest accomplishments, you know, I believe a person of God can achieve is to be used by God to lead someone into the kingdom of God. I believe that is one of the greatest accomplishments in your lifetime. I really believe that. Of course, I would say even the greater is leading your family to the Lord, leading your daughter to the Lord, leading your son to the Lord. You know what I mean? The greatest accomplishment that we could do. And you know, it's wonderful to build a church. It is. And don't get me wrong. There's so much we can measure what's the greatest accomplishment, you know, that you can achieve. You know, in fact, God gives incredible or achieves or really attributes wisdoms to soul winners. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:30 says this, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." How many people are wise here this morning? Anybody win a soul recently? So you know the Great Commission. Obviously, you know all the Great Commission. And Jesus gives us the Great Commission. What does that mean? And honestly, you know, when I first got saved, and before I went to Bible college, I was 2 years, gave my heart to the Lord. Miriam and I went through Teen Challenge, and we were doing street. And I remember them saying, someone said, "Do you know the Great Commission?" And I didn't know what that meant, the Great Commission. It didn't make sense. I didn't connect it. And so we call it the Great Commission. And they call it Christendom throughout the world. They call it the Great Commission. What is that, Pastor? We can put that scripture up. There it is. Matthew 28. This is Jesus' last instructions to the disciples. And this, it wasn't go build a house, go get a car, go get a camel, go get this. He's saying, listen, this is why I chose you. This is why I saved you. And this is your purpose here on earth to the disciples. He said this. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Can I just say, can we just give a big shout that you ain't alone in this, that Jesus is with us? Am I right? And that's the good news about this. Hallelujah. It's not that I'm on my own. I got Jesus. And thank God for that. Now listen to what James says about soul winning. Here's what James says in James chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth," check this out, "and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from their error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Come on, amen? That's why I say it's time to get on board. Come on. Next Saturday, you're going to have a time, we're going to have a time to tell some people about the love of Jesus and to tell some people that we love you and Jesus loves you. Amen? Now, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. Amen? Amen? It's like kind of, for me, you know, at one time I had an army of 25 to 50 to 60 people at any time with Team Challenge to put this thing together. But how many here knows we only need 12? Come on. Amen. And we got more than 12. We got people who are excited. I'm just thrilled, looking forward to it. It's all going to come together. Now, all of us are called to win souls. We are. We call this evangelism. Winning souls is called evangelism. And so, now, what does evangelism mean? What is evangelism? Of course, you know. You know the word, and it's called euangelistis in the Greek. But here's really simply the definition. I'm going to give you one of my favorite definitions. But it means a bringer of good news. It means the name given to the New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ. These are the ancient and the traditional definition of evangelism. A bringer of good news. The name given to the New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ. A preacher of the gospel. Amen? That's evangelism. Now you might say, Pastor Jimmy, you're an evangelism. We get that. That's your gift. You're not afraid. You're crazy. You're nut for, you know, all that stuff. Now we all are. We all are. Amen? We're all evangelists. Every one of us has a mission to lead and share the love of Jesus to the world. Can I get an amen? Do you agree? Amen. But here's my favorite definition of evangelism. Put it up, Andy. My favorite definition of evangelism. Check this out. You got it? Not that. That's a scripture. It's telling one beggar. Where is it? Telling another beggar where you found the bread. Amen? Telling another beggar where you found the bread. Come on, somebody. The bread of life. Why is that so dear, near my heart? I've heard that many, many years ago. And I've heard it repeatedly. And I preach it repeatedly over the Lord. Because there's a hunger in our heart that is never going to be satisfied until we eat the bread of life, until we consume Jesus. Come on. And that's what the world desperately needs. Hallelujah. Telling one beggar where you found the bread. Hallelujah. I believe there are many categories that evangelism can be defined under, but I've learned there are three that really define them all, that I've chosen over the years. And I've ministered in conferences all over the world sharing on evangelism, and I'd like to make it real practical and give you some good truths and some good understandings that I've learned over the years, which is pretty cool. And so I believe there are categories, but I've learned that there are really two categories on evangelism. I said three, and I'll tell you later. We'll go there. But really two. Number one is called power evangelism. Power evangelism, saving the multitudes. So let me share what I mean by that. That's through crusades, and that's through concerts, that's through conferences, that's through family day. Those big events, the big events, even to a big church service, but it's through big events where power evangelism, Billy Graham, amen, the power evangelism. Oh, well, let me give you the Bible. Moses to the children of Israel. How's that? How about Jonah to the Ninevites? Power evangelism, amen. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, amen. Peter's Day of Pentecost, that's power evangelism. Paul to the multitudes, Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, Shambach, RTB, our Rock the Brock Crusades. I've had the beautiful opportunity to preach in stadiums and crowds and multitudes of people and so forth all over the world. Had a wonderful, wonderful time of doing that in Africa where thousands were, and Tanzania and Kenya, Jamaica, Haiti and India, and all that good stuff here in the United States and so forth. And God uses power evangelism. Though, watch this, more, don't miss this, as a seed planter than a harvest reaper. Did you get that? And I'm going to give you fact, total fact. So let me say it again. God uses power evangelism more as a seed planter than a harvest reaper. And you'll explain that. Now, I'll explain that to you. I love power evangelism. I love it. I love it, and it's awesome. But the second category that evangelism can be defined under is personal evangelism. One soul at a time. Amen? One-on-one. Personal evangelism. I think that's where we all call in. I had my beautiful days of power evangelism and all that, but I just love ministering and continue to minister in the streets and just one-on-one and all that good stuff. Now, let me share this with you. One-on-one encounters that we all have, that you'll all have. I had one yesterday. I'll share it. Pretty cool. Now, one-on-one encounters, Moses to Joshua, right? David to Jonathan, Elijah to Elisha, Paul to Timothy, Elizabeth to Mary, and Jesus to the disciples. Those are one-on-one evangelism. Now, remember what we're talking about. Get on board the soul train. Got to win some souls. Amen? And that's really what this church is all about. That's what really God's breathing into this church is winning souls. Amen. It's really winning souls. And one of my hearts and my desire is to impart that to every one of you, to challenge you, to inspire you to get out there and be a light in the world. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I'm saying? World needs us. People are afraid right now. What's happening last night? I got a phone call of a person who was very, very afraid. Haven't heard from him in a long time. And he just said, Pastor Jimmy, what's going on? And I just said, listen, you would trust in Jesus. God's putting it together. We're trying to break peace in the United States. All preparation for Christ to come back. Amen. But people and young people are afraid. Amen. And so now, let me give you some real facts on how effective power evangelism is and personal evangelism. Here it is. Now, do any of you remember the Promise Keepers? Pastor, remember Promise Keepers? How many remember Promise Keepers? Raise your hand. Now, this is kind of like a phenomenon. Remember? This is in the late 90s. I think it was 96, actually. Really, 95, possibly 95, maybe 94. It could have been 92. Probably 92 till, you know, the 2000s and so forth. Kind of slowed up, and we established Promise Keepers here at Scott Caesar and maintained it. Powerful. You know, that was so interesting about that. This was Coach McCartney really had this burden in his heart. He was a coach of, I can't remember what team, football team. Now, you know, NFL football team. And he was a born-again Christian. He wanted to really feel that men need to be able to stand up and be a promise keeper to their family. It was awesome. And so it was a revelation to me as you know, back in that days, because I was at Shea Stadium in 1996. And there was close to 50,000. I don't know how they could pack it, but people were on the ground. It was packed. Let's just say it was 50. It was definitely 40, but I mean, I think I remember it was close. I don't know if that Shea could hold that much, but it was not only packed here, but the whole field was packed with chairs. And so I use that number for a reason. Now, here's the cool thing that took place and the revelation that was incredible about evangelism and soul winning. Coach McCartney got up and he said, now listen, he began to share about how important it is for us to share the gospel, to step out one-on-one. You're not going to be a Coach McCartney. Some of you are not going to be this. But most of you and the multitudes are going to be a person that is going to be in between life to your cleaners, your 7-Eleven, and you're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel. Let me tell you how vital and how important it is, because people look like, Billy Graham, you're the man. You know, and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. I want everybody in here to stand, 50,000. If you got saved at a concert, or if you got saved at a building or something like that, or what I call a power evangelism, a conference or a big, big event, stand. You heard the number, right? In your mind, how many people stood? In your mind, think about it. Now, 3,000 people stood. And he said, okay, sit. He said, now, if you were saved by a one-on-one encounter, I want you to stand. 47,000 people stood. Come on, somebody. You get that? Now, don't miss this, because it's so powerful. It's so important. Power evangelism. But just see what took place and how powerful one-on-one was with Jesus, with the disciples. He ministered on the Sermon on the Mount. He fed the 5,000 several times, spoke to the multitudes. But we know it was these 12 men that Jesus took one-on-one to share the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And remember their name. These are those who turn the world upside down. Come on, somebody. Let's raise up some powerful preachers of the gospel. So now don't miss this, because you got to understand something, that it's so important, power evangelism. Hundreds and millions of people got saved with the Billy Graham crusade. Don't get me wrong. Amen. Both are important, but here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, one sows, one waters, and God gives the increase. Did you get that? Jesus said, one sows, and one waters, and God gives the increase. So how did all those people get saved? And I would tell you that they heard the gospel somehow. They heard Billy Graham. They heard Reinhard Bonnke. They heard Shambach. They heard the gospel. They were interested in the gospel. And somebody like you or me had to come over and tell them one-on-one how much Jesus loves you and God has a miracle plan for your life. Come on, that's our job. Hallelujah. Now check this out. This is so cool. Now, in the 70s, America experienced what was known as the Jesus movement. Remember that? And we're believing that again. The hippies got saved. Remember, Calvary Chapel was born and it blew up with Chuck Smith. And I forget the preacher who's an evangelist as well. But now ministry like the Rolla Group. Now, the Rolla Group has done studies of evangelism and church dynamics and percentages and so forth. A ministry like them, I don't know actually who did this study. Watch this. One very important question they asked to thousands as they did this study of Christians, to thousands of Christians. Check this out. This I love. I love this, what I'm going to share with you. It's so important for you to understand. How many times were you witness to before you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you know what the number was? Someone say seven. Seven times. Isn't that awesome? Seven times. What does that confirm? It's what Jesus said. One sows, another waters, and God gives the increase. Come on, amen? That's why I like to say when I was up there with Alice Cooper, I could have been the sixth, the fifth, the fourth, who knows? But what really matters is I did what I'm called to do. Plant the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and God will do the increase. People will always say, you know what? You waste a lot of money feeding everybody for free. They don't come to the church. They don't sit in there. Where's the fruit of it? That's not our job. God gives the fruit. Amen? Our job is to sow the seed and let God do the fruit. Hallelujah! Come on, somebody. The world needs to hear you. It needs to see you. You have a light. You have something that they desperately need. Don't hold back. Someone say, preach. Don't get me excited, amen? Now, you know this is one of my favorite messages. So let me just share a couple more dynamics here. Because let me share a couple of soul-winning dynamics that I've used. And I like to keep it simple. And I shared power evangelism, and I shared personal evangelism. Now, number one, let me share three major dynamics. Here's number one. It's the dynamic of your mission, really. Number one is the mission God called you to. And God has a mission for every one of us. He really does. Wow. Such an incredible mission. And it's so unique. Like your mission is not greater than my mission. And my mission isn't greater than your mission. But my mission is definitely different than your mission. And your mission is definitely different than mine. I can't do your mission. But guess what? You can't do my mission. Come on. I like that song. Can't touch that. Come on. Can't touch that. Can't touch my mission. Amen? Right, Pastor? Because I got a mission. Amen? I like my mission. It's my mission. It ain't your mission. And I thank God I'm doing my mission. And if I don't do my mission, and if you don't do your mission, guess what? God's going to choose somebody else to do your mission. Oh, don't let nobody else take what you're supposed to do for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Because when you get to heaven, you got to check that mission book in. You want that mansion, that mission mansion. Just kidding. So here's the deal. The mission God called to, Luke chapter 19:10, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's our mission. Our mission is Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That's our call. That's our mission. It's to our family, our neighbors, our neighbors' neighbors. It's to our cleaners. It's to our 7-Eleven guy. Can I ask you this? Everybody has your sphere of your network. Does your cleaners know you are a crazy, born-again Christian? Mine does. Amen? Does your 7-Eleven, I have a 7-Eleven out here, all of them, they're all Hindus and Muslims, and every one of them know I'm Jesus, the crazy Christian, I'm Jimmy, the crazy Christian guy. All right, if they see Jesus in me, that's okay, amen? Everyone knows. They all know. Why? Because It just can't hold back in me what God has given me. Hey, folks, it's a day to get out of the box and preach the gospel. Come on, somebody. Now, the problem with Christians is this. Watch this. The Christians are more church dwellers than soul winners. Huh? Who did I just hear preaching? I can't remember. I was listening to somebody. They said, oh, this is crazy guy. I forget his name. He's funny. He's always on Facebook. Tells these great illustrations. And he talks about how many here love Christian conferences. Raise your hand. And then if you're not raising your hand, he said, oh, yeah. And you love it. And you want more. Some of us want more church. We want more church. You want more church. You want more church. I want more conferences. I want more conferences. I want to go to this book, this outlet. I want to go to this women's conference. I want to go to this disciple. I want more conferences. And he said, you know what happens? You end up getting spiritually constipated. And he starts walking like this. And by the time you get to the 7-Eleven, you're so filled up with the gospel, it sticks in there, you can't even get out. Why? You're more concerned about getting inside the church than getting outside the church. Come on, somebody. It's time to get out the pews and into the highways and byways. Woo! Come on, somebody. Help me, Lord. So it's time to get trained up. And win some souls for the kingdom of God. I love what you know, some people mock all the time, but you know, about people, you know. And you know, why we do this and why we do that. And all that other stuff. But I'll hold on to that. But let me tell you what happened yesterday. What was so interesting is that I'm trying to, you know, go to the car wash, and I finally made it. It was like the last car down the block. And I was tired. I was really tired, working crazy and so on. And so I made it. And I usually go in and just witness to all the car wash people and all that stuff. But I was just tired. How many know what I'm talking about? And so as I was in there, I saw this young kid. He's at the cashier. And I paid like I normally do, and I said something to him, and I smiled, and he smiled, and I went outside, and I just sat there. And I was sitting there. He comes out, and he grabs me. He goes, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah. How'd you know?" He said, "Because I saw that thing on. I have this I put on, you know." And somebody sent this here. We can't figure out how to who sent him. Sent a box of these things. And I didn't even realize I had it on. And so I go, "Yeah, how'd you know?" And he says, and it says, Psalms 46:1, it says this, "God is our refuge and strength." And I said, "Wow." And he perked me up. And I said, "You a Christian, brother?" He goes, "I sure am." "Yeah, and this guy's like 23, crazy Spanish kid." He goes, "Tell me how you got saved." And he just told me he was going to commit suicide. And he said, "If you really love me and you want me, then tell me, do something." And somebody came up to him and shared the loving gospel of Jesus Christ and saved his life. Come on, somebody. That's our job. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me give you the second one real quick. It's number one, the mission. Number two is the method. Someone say method. Now, the second dynamic of winning souls, God calls it, is the method God will use for you. And all of us have methods. I have a method, you know, and of course the church, our method this week is family day. That's our method. Why are we doing that? We want to win souls. We want to let the community know we're here. We want to tell them we love them. We want to get outside the church and say, this is what we do, so we can bring them in the church, raise them up, get them saved, let them go out to the world and save others and save their family. And so what's the method? Check this out. I love, this is my scripture in Bible school. When I first got saved, right when I went to Bible school, actually just before Bible school, I'll explain more. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 is my, what I call my street evangelism scripture. And it says this in Proverbs 1:20-21. It says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside." Someone say outside. "She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. And in the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Do you ever see them crazy people that are out there with a microphone everywhere? And we might say they're crazy. Those are soldiers of the cross. You go out there and do that. Amen? Jack Toback was a crazy Jewish guy that got born again. And you know when he got born again, you know what he did every weekend? He got a little megaphone on the corner of 8th Avenue and 42nd Street with a flag. Every single Saturday, and probably more than that, a crazy Jewish, born again, crazy guy. In fact, he was so crazy, my board member, that he went to a particular church in Oceanside, and one of my board members was Pastor Tom Graziaso. And we would talk about Jack Toback. He'd say, well, oh, man, he's just crazy. And he gave me this Italian word, Pastor. I don't remember what it meant, but it meant a chicken too big for the pot. Do you understand? That's Jack Toback. He's just so crazy. He hardly ever came to church. He was super busy on 42nd Street. Are you with me? And guess what? When I came out here to start Teen Challenge, hallelujah, I heard about Jack. I heard how crazy he was. And then we had the Coffee House Outreach down the block. And Miriam and I were there, and Diane and Bobby were ministering. And we had a vision, no money at all. We would take up an offering of $3 or $4, $10, because everybody were drug addicts or in the Coffee House Outreach. We brought them in. It was unbelievable on Friday night to 7 to 9. It was rocking. And Jack Toback comes in. I'm going, oh my gosh, the crazy guy's here. The crazy guy for Jesus. And sure enough, after service, Jack Toback came up to me. And he comes up and he says, how come you don't have a hat? He saw all the drug addicts. He said, what are you doing? I said, this year I sent 72 drug addicts into Teen Challenge programs all over the Northeast. I drove them there, put them on buses. How come you don't have a house? I said, we're waiting for somebody to bring the money. He goes, how much you need? And all of a sudden I said, $350,000. He wrote out a check for $350,000 and said, here, come on, somebody. I love those crazy guys for Jesus. Now, if any of you crazy here tonight, we'll take that check today. We got a whole lot of stuff we got to do there. Hallelujah. That's a good method. That is a good method. And that's why how Rock the Block was born. Rock the Block. Miriam and I, when we first started, got saved, the next summer, we were in the streets with David Wilkerson. Absolutely, the whole summer. And we were in charge of, I was in charge of doing the sound. Mike, I was the sound guy. I fell in love with it. I had a table, and I set up the speakers, stage. Miriam was working with this, handing out tracks, and Brother Dave Wilkerson would come in. It was unbelievable. The anointing of this prophet, this man of God that would preach in the hardcore. And we would have these, we would go like 6 or 7 days in a row. Boom, boom, set up, break. It was unreal. It was so exciting. And so when I finally came through Bible college, I came home. I built my own sound system. I built lights. We got stages, and we started hitting the streets. And we hit the streets for about 5 years. We'd go in all over Long Island, Freeport, Hempstead, all hot spots. And then we would go in Spanish Harlem. In 2004, we were in Spanish Harlem. And I was on preaching, just a simple platform, simple speakers. We're giving out balloons that says, Jesus loves you. As I'm preaching the gospel, this kid who's like 15 is walking by, didn't even look. And I'm preaching. And the Holy Spirit is saying, look at that. I'm telling you, it was God. I couldn't get off my heart. Drug addicts got saved. People came up. Don't get me wrong. I got off and I got my evangelism coordinator, a native named Ray. And I said, Ray. And I was so burdened. I was like, I couldn't believe God. I wanted to almost cry. And I said, Ray, he goes, what's the matter with you? I said, I was preaching, and I watched a 14-year-old walk by us like he couldn't even see us. And I looked at our set. I said, we have to change. We have to change with the culture. We have to change. We have to make this exciting. We have to make this so youth will run to our stages. I'm telling you, we went back, had a plan. We got a new name. It was called Rock the Block. We just had a vision. We put proposals together. We needed to raise funding for a stage, for trust, for lights, action, everything. We wrote proposals. The first one we wrote, sent to, was Smithtown Gospel. They loved it, sent us $25,000. We bought our system, and for the next several years, we received hundreds of thousands of dollars from evangelism, ministry, grants, and we brought the gospel. We set up stage, lights, action, trust, and we rocked the block. Come on, somebody! We had, you know, you see American Idol, we had rock the block talents. We did. We had people come from everywhere to our Freedom Chapel. We set up stages. Me and people would sit there on tables. They would do their thing on the stage, and we would judge them and ask questions. Tell me about your life with Jesus. Tell me about your life. And then they would join our rock the block. Come on, we had an awesome time. And God's good. And I believe God wants to do that here. God wants to do that in our life. And we were getting out of the box, doing something different, doing something exciting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard of the... Well, let me hold this thought, because I really want to pray. It's in my heart to pray for all of us. But I want you to know this, because really the last motive that I'll share with you, the last dynamic that I want to share, the first one was what? Your mission. Second was your method. Can I give you the third dynamic of evangelism? Is your motive. What's the motive? And the motive has to be birthed out of love. The disciples understood the love of Jesus, what Christ died and what he did on the cross. The demonstration of the gospel of love. What's your motive? What's my motive? Why are we here? Why do we want to go out on Saturday, because we want to show and tell people we love you. We love you. Do you want to hear the greatest, most powerful gospel, personal testimony or evangelism message you could ever share with somebody? And that's looking person in the eye and saying, I love you. Come on, somebody. Amen. I love you. I want you to stand now because I want to pray. And I have more to share with you. But you remember the woman at the well. She was married a few times, remember? Right? And she was dropping her water bucket in there. And Jesus came and said, woman, would you give me something to drink? And she basically said, this is the hour for Samaritans, the outcasts, the lower people, the people from the ghetto to come and get water. This isn't time for the Jews. You're a rabbi. And said, well, I need something to drink. She had a pot there. And then she says, I thirst. You know, she thirsts. And Jesus said to her, what did he say to her? He said, woman, drink from me. And you shall never thirst again. She had her pot there, don't forget. And out of the depths of your being shall flow rivers of living water. And what is the rivers of living water? You know what that is? It's the purity of the gospel. It's the beauty of the gospel. It's the wisdom of the gospel. It's the transformation. It's the redemption of the gospel. But mainly, it's the love of the gospel. And you know the story. She came there for what? She came there for water. Read the scripture. It says she left her pot. And she went and told all who were in the city. She left her pot because she had the living water. She had the living water. And that's the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the love that you and I have. Hallelujah. And it's a love that we can give to others. And let's pray right now. And I know most of you. And I look around. I know that your heart is right with God. There might be a few who are new here or some, you know, and God's doing something. And you maybe you haven't experienced being born again. Ask Jesus to come in your heart. It's not difficult. Wash you with his blood. But I want to pray for all of us here. I want to pray for that love. I want to pray for that love in our hearts, that we will be able to bring that love. Don't get me wrong, not just Family Day, but to your sphere. To your sphere, because nobody will really care what you know until they really know that you care. I'll have so many stories to tell you, I just got to hold them back, and I will. About people who I just said, I love you. That was it. Nothing else. Changed their life forever. Because they knew it was the love of Jesus. Hurting and bound and bitter sinners know when you're for real or not. And they're waiting to find somebody who's for real. And tell them, I love you. God loves you. And you are precious in His sight. So could we just join up here? Whoever's going to be a part, come on up. Look, just as a church, whoever, I don't want to force you. I just want to pray a blessing over us. A baptism of love that we could bring out to this beautiful family day and this beautiful church. Your highways and your byways and your sphere. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you're coming, so I quote the scripture, John 3:16. Hallelujah. For God so loved your family, you, your neighbors, your fear of network, every person that's going to walk on our property next Saturday. God so loved them that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in them, Him, shall have everlasting life. So Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Could you put your hand on your heart? I pray in the name of Jesus for a baptism of love, that you would fill our hearts, fill our soul. Oh, God, with that river of living water. Help us to leave our pots and help us to go tell all. Whatever our pot is, whatever the need, the responsibilities, life, the burdens, all that stuff, the distractions, help us at times, even when we're tired, that we could just get up and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do a fresh work in our lives. Lord, strengthen us. And I pray in Jesus' name for every one of us who are going to be out in that parking lot serving. Oh God, that our feet would be shotted with the gospel of peace. That we would have the belt of truth. That we had the breastplate of righteousness. Sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, most of all, being filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Try to make it out Thursday, please. 1 hour. 7 o'clock to 8, we'll be here. We'll designate all the responsibilities. Bring all the supplies with you. 7 o'clock Thursday. Love you.